Dr. Diane Mozar teaches history at Northern Virginia Community College. She is the author of several books, including Islam at the Gates and The 10 Dates Every Catholic Should Know. Her latest book is titled Seven Lies About Catholic History, and Dr. Diane Mozar is on the telephone with us today from Northern Virginia. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us on the program today. Why write a book about historic inaccuracies about the Catholic Church?
Well, I think it was building up all the years of my teaching in a secular college because I come across these lies just all the time. I mean, even if in my lectures, I try to make things clear, objectively clear, to students, I will get these lies on exam papers and in, you know, essays and so forth. And so I realized that, you know, there is some of these lies are just part of the mentality we grow up with, maybe not if we go to Catholic schools, but an awful lot of other people, and even Catholics, do have these prejudices in the back of their heads, and nobody has explained to them that they are false.
So how did these lies get started, and why have they been perpetuated over the years?
Well, it's different for each lie, I think, how it gets started, because in some cases, as with the lies that the Protestants put out about the condition of the Catholic Church at the time of the Reformation, that was obviously their own agenda. But if you go to something else, I mean, for the idea that the Middle Ages were dark ages and only the lights went on only in the Renaissance, well, that was Renaissance people themselves and then Renaissance historians who like to perpetuate that idea because it glorifies their own period, and so they downgrade the previous period. So there are different, you know, reasons why the lies emerged, and I try to trace its roots in this book.
Well, your book has seven lies, and we're going to talk about a few of them this morning. Let's start talking about the Crusades. What are the historical lies about the Church and the Crusades?
Oh dear, yes, the idea that it was an example of Western colonialism, that the aggressive West was trying to take over the world. Or that the fanatical Catholics in Western Europe were trying to convert, were on a mission to forcibly convert everybody else, and therefore they wanted to go after the Jews and Muslims in the Holy Land. There are not a number of variations of that, but usually it is blaming the West for the Crusades, which are held to be, you know, really awful things. I mean, you hear that mentioned sometimes, the word crusade as a pejorative word.
So what is the accurate statement about the Crusades? Was it, you know, how did it come about if it wasn't aggression on part of the West or on part of the Church?
Well, it was very, very clear. There was an Eastern Roman Empire. It was the Greek, that was after the Greek schism. They were Orthodox, so there was a religious split with the West, but they were still Christian. And their territory had originally included the Holy Lands, and that was taken over by the Arabs several centuries before the Crusades started. Nobody could do anything about that. They were too weak. But then when the Seljuk Turks came in, and they began not just to take the Holy Lands, but they began to take other big chunks of the Eastern Empire, and the emperor sent a message to the Pope asking for help. He was asking for a military force to help defend his territory. So this is one Christian ruler asking for help from the Christian rulers of Europe. And it was politically certain and religiously, because the Pope was hoping to have a reconciliation of the churches. But it was certainly a very reasonable thing for Europe to help him, because they were going to be the next targets of the Turks.
Okay, well, let's jump forward a few centuries, maybe. Let's talk about the Inquisition. Most people have a very negative impression of the Inquisition, what are the lies that have been perpetuated about the Inquisition?
Oh gosh, almost too many to count. But it was the evil church suppressing free opinion, and it was torturing people to death because they wouldn't be Catholic, and the list goes on. In fact, the very early church recognized something had to be done about heresy, because heresy would contaminate the beliefs of the faithful. I mean, they must not be confused by having lies told to them. And so the idea was to sort of separate the heretics. This is way back in the early days and in the Dark Ages, too. And the idea was that if heretics would not stop preaching false doctrine to Catholics, then they should be what the word was, exterminare, which sounds like exterminate, but it means put outside the boundaries of. The terminus is the boundary. So, in other words, exile them or expel them from whatever place they were in and let them go someplace else, but don't let them stay and contaminate the faithful. All right. But later, the heresies that you read most about in the Middle Ages especially also usually had a political component and a social component. Like the worst example is the Cathars, who refused to take oaths, they refused to obey political authority, they were subversive, they starved people to death. That was part of their religion, that when you were perfect, you had to starve yourself to death, and if you wouldn't do it, they would help you do it. There is an example, examples where they were starving babies to death. These were real dangers to the political and social order, and they were, out of humanitarian concerns, they had to be opposed. And so the Inquisition was set up to see who was Cathar and who was not, and then they would try to convert them first. That was the purpose of the Inquisition, to convert them. And I have an account of an inquisitor who spent 3 days talking to a Cathar, trying to get him to see where he was wrong. And if they wouldn't, then they were usually imprisoned for a short period. Very few of them were executed, in fact.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. It's different from the view that we see in movies and so forth. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and this morning I'm talking with Diane Mozar, who is the author of the book Seven Lies About Catholic History. And Dr. Mozar is a historian and a teacher in Northern Virginia. Many Catholics believe that the Protestant Reformation was necessary due to corruption and greed in the Catholic Church. I mean, that's kind of common thought, but you dispelled that myth. Could you talk a little bit about that to us, please?
Yes, that is a very common view, and unless you really look into it, with modern research, you don't see where it's wrong. I mean, it seems that there wouldn't have, you think, well, there wouldn't have been a Reformation if there hadn't been something to fix. But actually, Luther had all his ideas ready to go even before the indulgence scandal, it would have come no matter what. But as far as the real corruption of the church, certainly there was moral laxity. But I don't know that it was any worse than it had been the previous century, or as it is now, in some places. So, it was not, there is no evidence at all that most people wanted a new religion. They wanted reform within the church. They wanted moral reform. They wanted their priests to be better educated. But there's no evidence that they wanted a new religion. These religions were thought up out of the heads of people like Luther and Calvin, Luther being a very unstable personality anyway. And then they were everywhere imposed by the secular authority, because there was immediately an alliance between the secular powers that wanted to use these new religions for political reasons. Now, there is a book called by a man named Cameron called The European Reformation, and he examines these myths. I don't know what his religion is. It was a prize-winning book a few years ago, and he examines the idea that the church was so totally corrupt, and he looks at all the different charges, and he finds that they are all false. And he says, then how can we account for the Reformation? And he says, well, you know, in a way, religion became mass politics. It became all mixed up with politics and asking people to choose their religion, what do they want, and instead of focusing on the one true faith, you know, that was preached by Christ. So it is a very complex thing, but certainly I think the church has been, by scholars at least, pretty well absolved of massive corruption at the time of the Reformation.
Well, that's good to know. What do you want your readers to take away from this book? What's the lesson to be learned?
Question everything. Everything that you hear. If you hear something negative about the church in something on television or in a book that you read, well, check it out and look it up. Don't just swallow it, because the myths are still out there, and you know I come across them every other day. So there are new. These are only a sample what I've got here, the seven myths. So I think that people really have, Catholics especially, really have to think critically and examine what they hear, and don't accept any kind of negative judgment on their faith, unless, I mean, it is proved. Certainly there were churchmen who, you know, who are to be blamed for lots of things. There were bad Renaissance popes, and if somebody says so, we don't have to, you know, try to say that's wrong. But we have to look into it and make sure that before we assent to it. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. What are you working on now?
I'm not absolutely sure. I'm thinking of doing something about the figures of the great monarch. You know, there's those legends of the great monarch that would come in the future. And I was going to look back in Catholic history and find the greatest, the six greatest rulers of who were Catholic and saints, and write a book about that. I'm not sure about that. And another thing is to collaborate with a former student of mine who was a high school teacher on who killed American education. And we would take different chapters and say, well, this group did it. No, these did it. This did it. This did it. And but that's a completely different thing. You know, that's more of a secular book.
Well, the book is entitled Seven Lies About Catholic History, Infamous Myths About the Church's Past and How to Answer Them. The author is Diane Mozar. Thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Forum. How can our listeners get a copy of this fascinating book?
Well, it's published by TAN. It's available on their website, TAN Books. And, of course, it's also on Amazon and Alibris and bookstores.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and great success with the book, and a happy new year to you, Diane.
Thank you for having me.